Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, April 3rd. This is Susan Overreading. We will begin today's work with Area Calendar. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Tech It Out. That is from 3 until 5 p.m. at the Normal Public Library. Lego We Do Robotics, Ozobots, McKees, and others. This is for ages 6 to 12. All aboard, Bloomington Normal Attractions highlight Amtrak magazine. Normal, Amtrak customers nationwide got a glimpse of the Twin Cities this winter. The national Amtrak's onboard magazine featured Bloomington Normal in its February-March issue as part of En Route, a series that shows readers places to go by train they may not be familiar with, said executive editor Alex Hoyt. The two-page spread invites readers to stay at Bloomington's Brewman Mansion Bed and Breakfast, get lunch at Epiphany Farms Restaurant or Anjou above downtown, and visit the Children's Discovery Museum, Maggie Miley's, and the Normal Theater in Uptown as part of their layover between Chicago and St. Louis. Maggie Miley's has this nice backstory about how the founder's great-grandmother came over from Ireland, wanted to open a bar, and could not because of a city ordinance. Over a century later, her descendant does open that bar. It's a quintessential American story. Brewman stuck out due to its long-storied history. The feature lists not only what the selected businesses offered, but also their histories and quotes from people who run them, including Brewman manager Danielle Grove, Children's Discovery Museum executive director Shelley Berlingmeyer, and Adam Fox, who manages the theater. Bloomington Normal is the second community featured in En Route. That feature launched in December-January with Greenwood, Mississippi as a print-only fixture of the magazine, which began publishing in print and online last fall. Online aspects of the magazine tend to be longer features, Hoyt said. Normal is our busiest downstate station and has been an important economic development factor for the community, noted Amtrak spokesman Mark Maglieri of Why the Community Was Selected. End of article. Road closings. Washington Street in Bloomington. Washington Street between Gas and Western Avenues will be closed for 1 month, beginning 6 a.m. this morning for railroad track work. That street is expected to reopen at 6 p.m. on May 3rd. Drivers should use an alternate route. Going places. Students compete for state title in geography B. Understanding geography is a timeless skill, according to Cameron Wolters. Cameron 14 of Springfield said, "The planet is so big, geographic knowledge will never grow old. You can use the skills for traveling too." Cameron was one of 99 students competing last Friday in the Illinois Geographic B at Bones Student Center at Illinois State University. Family members and coaches snapped pictures in front of maps with their young scholars. Robert and Lois Wolters of Normal visited the competition to support their grandson, Cameron. Quote, "He has a memory like you can't believe," said Lois Wolters. "All these facts and questions are right up his alley. It is a privilege to see him compete because he has worked hard." End quote. The students first competed in their school geography B's, then they answered questions in an online quiz. The top scorers from across the state were invited to the competition in Normal. Sehan Yalavarthy, a seventh grader from Buffalo Grove, was named the state champion at Friday's B. The winning question was, "Altamira Cave, known for its prehistoric paintings, is found in the province of Cantabria in the northern part of which European country?" The correct answer is Spain. Sehan received $100 and will attend the National Geographic B Championship from May 14th to the 17th in Washington, D.C. The final round of the National Geographic B Championship will air at 7 p.m. May 19th on the National Geographic cable channel and later on public stations. End of article. Police still seeking robbery suspect. The search continues for the person or persons who robbed University Liquors of an undisclosed amount of cash last Thursday afternoon. Normal Police Sergeant Rob Cherry said last Friday they were obviously still investigating and trying to locate the suspect and working it from the angle that the police do have. The suspect, who entered the store at 706 West Beaufort Street around 3:32 p.m. last Thursday, was described as a man of medium build, about 5'4", wearing a dark hooded sweatshirt, dark pants, white tennis-style shoes, and an orange mask. He was armed with a handgun, police said. Cherry said although only one person entered the business, there are conflicting reports of whether a second person outside may have been involved. We have not confirmed that at this point, he said. End quote. No one was injured in the robbery. Police asked that anyone with information concerning the case contact Detective Brad Park at 309-454-9527 or bpark@normal.org. The robbery occurred just off the southwest corner of the Illinois State University campus. It prompted an emergency alert to be sent to faculty, staff, and students. Parents with children at ISU's lab schools, Metcalf and Uni High, also were notified. The two lab schools were locked down and parents were notified to pick up their children, but the university maintained normal operations. Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person in contempt of court for felony charges. Justin Dwayne Nelson, 34, is 5'5", and he weighs 135 pounds. He has long brown hair, brown eyes, and possibly a mustache and beard. He has fair skin and a slight build. His last known address was in Normal. He is named on a warrant charging him with aggravated DUI. Crime Stoppers pays cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. You may call 309-828-1111. 309-828-1111. End of article. Vogel, April Fool does not describe our lottery vendor. I should have dug a little deeper last August when I asked state lottery officials how often big winning tickets are sold but never cashed. The data were available for draw games, like the Daily Jackpot, but not for instant games, the scratchers. Why was that? Because maybe the winning scratch-off was not sold, I was told, writing it off as a matter of a handful of tickets being pulled off shelves at the end of an instant games marketing run. But now, two class-action lawsuits contend the lottery has been calculatedly ending some scratch-off ticket sales early, before tickets with the biggest prizes were sold, as one lawsuit alleges, when the profitability of the game was statistically maximized. If that is true, maybe the odds of winning a big jackpot in an instant game have been even longer than we thought. The lottery is managed by a private firm, North Star Lottery Group, under a lot of pressure to enhance the lottery's profitability. North Star gets a share of those profits. Put those facts together and they explain a lot. State government, about halfway through a 10-year deal with North Star, is trying to end that relationship, even if it means paying sizable early out fees outlined in the contract. State legislative hearings into the whole mess are scheduled for this spring. In the meantime, North Star is not having to stand in line with small businesses, healthcare providers, and other vendors waiting for the state to make good on $12.8 billion in unpaid bills. No, North Star's sweet deal ensures it doesn't have to wait for its money. $11.4 million last month. $55.4 million so far in this fiscal year. Good to know somebody's got a sure thing going with the library. I'm sorry, with the lottery. End of article. Happening everywhere, mall evolving with loss of big stores. Bloomington. Bloomington resident John Carrick has witnessed the evolution of retail over more than 50 years of living in the Twin Cities. As a grade schooler, he remembers shopping for new shoes and clothes for school with his mother at the JCPenney store when it was in downtown Bloomington, where McGuire's Bar and Grill is today. Quote, "I remember every bit of that," he said last week, while walking laps with a group of friends inside Eastland Mall. Carrick was in high school when Eastland was built in 1966 at Veterans Parkway and Route 9. "Everyone migrated from downtown Bloomington and a few shops in Normal," he said. "It was the place to come for quite a while," end quote. He recalled how the relocation of JCPenney, Woolworth, Roland's Department Store, and other downtown merchants to the mall sent the retail hub in the city's core on a downward spiral. In 1988, Roland's closed, and that 30,000-square-foot space was remodeled into the mall's food court. As he reminisced, Carrick stood in front of a shoe store that was home to Eastland Mall Cinemas until its three screens faded to black on March 7, 1993. After 30 years as a mall tenant, Woolworth, which had once been the cornerstone of American retail, closed its mall store in 1997. Earlier that same year, the company announced it would close its remaining 400 five-and-dime stores nationwide after 118 years of business. Over its 50 years, Eastland Mall has experienced the loss of stores and the addition of new ones. That is the nature of retail. But the mall's immediate future has been shaken by the loss of two anchor stores, Macy's, which closed 1 week ago, and JCPenney, an anchor from the beginning, which will close later this year. While there has been no announcement on another of the mall's original anchors, Sears, will close, the company recently announced there is substantial doubt it will be able to keep its stores open. They joined several mall retailers, including The Gap, Gap Kids, The Limited, MC Sports, and Radio Shack, that also recently closed. The mall's other two anchors, Bergner's and Kohl's, are staying. "Poetic justice," mused Carrick about the mall's loss of stores and renewed retail interest and increased housing options downtown in the last decade. "But it's happening everywhere. Quote, I have a daughter who lives in Jacksonville, Florida. It is happening there, too. I hate to see everything close," said Del Morgan of Bloomington. "It means someone is out of a job." "It was the place to be," added Ken Reeser, also of Bloomington. "It was a fun, exciting place. All the contests they used to have here. Two men and others meet around 8 a.m. nearly every day for coffee in the mall's food court area. We were thinking about moving somewhere else, but we really haven't done anything about it," said Reeser. "That's a topic of discussion." Eastland Mall owner CBL and Associates Properties previously said in discussions to redevelop the Macy's and JCPenney square footage to recapture underperforming space and deliver a fresh new mix that drives increased traffic and sales to the entire property is under discussion. The owners added it is too early to announce concrete plans or potential tenants. "The highest priority is to work with Eastland Mall to reinvent itself. Strong, revitalized downtowns and specialty shops and smaller shops are not hurting as much in this economy as big box stores. End of article. Walk this way, normal to fill in sidewalks near ISU. Illinois State University students will be able to walk to class more easily this fall. The town of Normal will fill in sidewalks on Beach Street, Fell Avenue, and University this summer, pending Normal City Council approval. Quote, these are all areas where the public sidewalk exists, but it is not continuous along a street. So we are filling in gaps, said City Manager Mark Peterson. The work is necessary under Illinois Commerce Commission guidelines because each sidewalk leads directly to an at-grade railroad crossing that was recently upgraded for high-speed rail, according to a memo from City Engineer Gene Brown to the council. The required sidewalks are to be constructed on the west side of Beach Street from the crossing south to College Avenue, on the east side of Fell Avenue from the crossing south to Irvine Street, and on the east side of University Street from the crossing south to Hovey Avenue, according to the memo. The Beach Street Crossing is in a residential neighborhood east of the ISU campus, but the other two crossings, both near Beaufort, are frequent paths for students from apartment complexes to university buildings, including the Quad and Watterson Towers. Certainly the ones on Fallon University will be of direct benefit to ISU students, most of whom walk to campus, said Peterson. Less so the one on Beach, but it will certainly have some public benefit, end quote. The work has yet to be bid, but it is expected to cost $270,000, paid for from the town's motor fuel tax funds. The council meets tonight at 7 p.m. on the fourth floor at Uptown Station. In other business, the council will consider renewing a contract with Henson Disposal of Bloomington to dispose of the town's bulky waste for $51.01 per ton, or about $2 million per year. The agreement for 1 year with two mutual one-year extensions will help the community get closer to 40% of waste recycled, according to a memo from Public Works Director Wayne Aldrich. The council will hear a presentation from the Autism Friendly Community Campaign, a joint effort of Autism McLean and Mark First on ways to make the Twin Cities more autism-friendly. Emmanuel Combs, Chuck Hartzell, and Kari Sandhas are expected to speak. End of article. Coroner, pedestrian died of multiple blunt injuries on veterans. Normal, a Bloomington man was killed after being struck by an SUV last Friday night on Veterans Parkway in Normal, police said. Preliminary autopsy results indicate Jeffrey Darr, 50, died from multiple blunt injuries, said McLean County Coroner Kathy Davis. Toxicology reports are pending. Police were called at 8:24 p.m. to the scene between Fort Jesse and Shepherd Roads. Witnesses say Darr entered the southbound lanes of traffic near Shepherd and was struck by a vehicle. Firefighters and police found Darr showed no signs of life and was pronounced dead at the scene at 9:19 p.m. by the McLean County Coroner's Office. Police said Darr was crossing the road in an area not designed for pedestrian traffic. The road was not well lit. Investigators are working to determine why he was in the roadway. The driver of the car remained at the scene and cooperated with police. Southbound traffic was stopped at Shepherd Road, and northbound traffic from Fort Jesse Road was restricted to one lane as authorities investigated the scene. Anyone who may have witnessed this crash is asked to contact Normal Police at 309-454-9535, 454-9535. End of article. How time flies. 100 years ago, April 3, 1917. Many circus performers who spend the winter in Bloomington have left for their seasonal engagements or will leave soon. The Flying Fishers will join the Galmar Circus in Kansas. Leo Hendrix will soon depart to join the Delano Troupe of Aerial Artists. 75 years ago, 1942, the Woodford County Fair, already a fading memory, is now history. The last fair was in 1927. The El Paso Fairgrounds were auctioned off this week. George Williamson paid $140 an acre for the land and plans to farm it. Investors may back 35 cents on the dollar. 50 years ago, 1967, this was terrible. The Richard Speck trial began in Peoria after weeks of jury selection. Speck is charged with murdering 8 student nurses in Chicago. In opening statements, the prosecution said it will seek the death penalty. The defense contends authorities have the wrong man. And 25 years ago, April 3, 1992, Jesse Sein, 88, is giving up the shoe repair career he began in 1929. A Quincy native, he came here and started working with his brother before setting up shop in Normal. Sein says he's had 4 operations since September and he is not okay. So it is time, he said. End of article. History lesson. Normal West seniors organize and study archives. There's a mysterious missing room at Normal Community West High School. Fun fact, did you know there is not a room 149? The school map shows 148 and 150, but no 149, said Normal West senior Alex Lansley. Lansley and five of her senior peers, Emily Kratz, Jessica Flesher, Katie Sherman, and Krista Barth, discovered that oddity while poring over old blueprints of that school. The girls are part of an archiving group, West Past, where they preserve and organize items with a connection to the high school's 21-year history. Quote, I've learned a lot of things the average student just is not going to know, said Sherman, end quote. Normal West social studies teacher John Bierbaum came up with the archiving idea 4 years ago with help from social studies teacher Kathy Unsby. Bierbaum spent the years amassing shelves of club t-shirts, athletic gear, photographs, yearbooks, and other items with a high school connection. Among the more unusual items, according to the group, are a shovel used for the building's groundbreaking ceremony, a half-deflated football from a past game with Normal Community, and a coat passed from principal to principal since 1996. When the collection got out of hand, Bierbaum asked the group of girls last fall if they would be willing to organize the stacks of history. The group of volunteers meets twice each week at 7:15 a.m. to file and research items before the first bell. They even took a day last week during their spring break to archive. Quote, they choose to work on this during their free time. They are close friends, history buffs, and trying to keep these things from disappearing, said Unsby. Each member has a different skill. Most said they love to tidy and organize. Others said it's all about the history and research. We do it because we are preserving history and discovering how things formed at West, end quote, said Emily. The group has hosted fundraisers to pay for shelves, acid-free boxes, labels, hat stands, coat hangers, and archiving software. April Anderson, university archivist at Illinois State University, met with the girls in October to give archiving pointers. She also invited the group on a tour of ISU's archiving facility. When Anderson saw on a return visit Thursday the headway this group had made in 5 months, she said, "Wow, guys, this makes my archivist heart sing." Since the beginning of the school year, the group has downsized inventory, organized shelves of yearbooks, cataloged nearly every item, and made a to-do list for successors who will come after them. Quote, I was blown away with what they accomplished, said Anderson. I teach archiving classes at ISU. I've never seen a more motivated group. They have created a repository that future students can learn from and continue to build on. Anderson encouraged the group to reach out to alumni groups for help identifying past students in photos. It is important to keep these items archived so future students can reminisce a little. It creates connections between former and current Normal West Wildcats, said Anderson. The girls hope to recruit a dedicated group of younger classmates to take their place when they graduate in May. It takes a special person to do this, said Sherman. You have to be mature and responsible, and you enjoy the work you do. End quote. Any Normal West alumni with items to donate can contact the group at ncwhsarchive@gmail.com. ncwhsarchive@gmail.com. End of article. Community cleanup set April 17th to the 22nd. That's a Monday through a Sunday. The annual community-wide cleanup is scheduled for April 17th to April 22nd, organized by the Ecology Action Center, the Town of Normal, and City of Bloomington Beautification Committee. For details, you may go to bncleanup.org. bncleanup.org. Two cleanup week projects are available for sign-up for groups and individuals. EAC Earth Day Cleanup and Sugar Creek Stewards Workday will be held from 9 a.m. until noon on April 22nd, which is a Saturday. End of article. Counties focus on public health. Bloomington, encouraging healthy eating and active living and combating West Nile virus, smoking, opioid abuse, and cancer are some of the ways in which Tazewell, Woodford, and Peoria counties will recognize National Public Health Week. The week is held this Monday through April 9th. And the health departments for all three counties are using the week to focus each day on a different community health priority. The Joint Community Health Improvement Plan for the three counties identified physical activity as a need, so the three health departments encourage people to be physically active and eat healthfully today. Warmer temperatures and standing water from the last week's rain will create conditions for breeding mosquitoes, which carry disease-causing West Nile virus. The health departments urge people beginning tomorrow, Tuesday, to use insect repellent to repair torn window screens and to reduce mosquito breeding grounds by emptying standing water outside. Lung cancer from radon exposure and tobacco use is a major cause of death in all three counties. The health departments urge residents on Wednesday to buy radon test kits at the Tazewell and Woodford County Health Departments. The EPA website, epa.gov, lists simple solutions to radon hazards. Tobacco users are urged to call the Illinois Department of Public Health's Free Tobacco Quit Line this week on Wednesday for support, guidance, and ways to quit. That quit line is 866-784-8937. 866-784-8937. You may also go to quityes.org. More than 80% of heroin users started with prescription opioids, and opioid overdoses have been increasing in all three counties. On this Thursday, residents are urged to get rid of any old prescription or over-the-counter medications at safe drop-off locations. Call your local police department or the sheriff's department to find a drop-off location near you. Friday is Human Papillomavirus Awareness Day. The HPV vaccine can reduce the risk of a future cancer. Females and males ages 11 through 26 are urged to get the vaccine. Meanwhile, in McLean County, National Public Health Week will be celebrated with a downtown walk between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. on April 7th. My apologies, I realize now that the wrong page was down on the calendar. More than 80% of heroin users started with prescription opioids. Meanwhile, in McLean County, National Public Health Week will be celebrated with a downtown walk between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. on April 7th, which is Friday. People interested in walking may check in on the south side of the McLean County Museum of History. That is 200 North Main Street in Bloomington. End of article. Letter to the editor, Bloomington Mayor. I was not going to write any letters about the Bloomington Mayor's race until a ridiculous piece from Kevin Lower arrived in our mail today. In it, he said nothing about what he would seek to do as mayor. He tries to place blame on Terry Renner for the Coliseum, which I think has been an asset to the area. But it was conceived and built way before Renner became mayor. Likewise, he doesn't seem to have favored the recommendation of city staff and a decision of the council to use bond revenue for street repair. Does he just want them to deteriorate? At this time, we will take a short break.